It is Thought Leader Thursday, and we're happy to have with us again John Horton today. He's Senior Lending Manager at Associated Bank and an SVP there. John, good morning.
Steve, good morning. Thanks for having me back.
I don't want to ruin your morning, but there's a couple of things out in the news over the last day or so that's concerning, I think, to people who are homeowners or thinking about it, and certainly mortgage brokers and people like yourself. First, let's start the numbers yesterday. Housing starts down significantly, 5% in some places. What is that going to translate into for the real estate market?
You know, it really depends, obviously, on where you're looking. They were saying there was a big housing start hit with the horrible weather, you know, down south. It really put everybody back and triggered a lot of negative, obviously, with the rebuilding that has to happen. But people blame anything. You know, you could blame the bad weather, you could blame the Cubs, you could blame anything, but it's really a mindset on what people want to do. They're down now, could be the fall. Once it gets into the holidays, they're saying it might pick up. It kind of goes back to what you read and who you believe.
Yeah.
But with them down again, I think it might negate the factor of the Fed raising the rates. We talked about that last time, is the rates have been low. The Fed was supposed to raise them 6 times this year. They said they might be up as far as 5% on a 30-year fix by the end of 2018. And I think that might be just scaring people. You know, I'm not doing anything. I'm going to sit tight. And then in retrospect, they might not do anything. So you kind of have that double-edged sword that, do I do it now or do I wait? And it's almost to the point where you just got to bite the bullet. It's a great time to buy a house. Prices are low. The inventory is high. And people want to sell.
What are mortgage rates right now, generally?
Right now, off-the-sheet pricing, again, depending on credit appraisal, there's a lot that factors into it. The 30-year fixed has been hovering between 3.875 and 4% for, I want to say, a couple of months. But again, if it's a condo, it's credit, so there's different factors that go into those rates. But if you were just to look for the 30-year fixed rate, ARMs right now, you're still in the low threes, high twos.
And give us again a sense of historically how that is low or high.
It's low. It's low. Really, for the last 7 years, you saw the 30-year fixed rate. I think the low point on the 30-year fixed rate several years ago was about 3.25, 3.5. But to bump up 3/8 in 7 years with everything that's going on, it's really not a big rate spike.
So if people are on the fence about refinancing now, is it still a good time to also refinance?
It's a good time, and it's funny you said that. I was reading an article a couple of weeks ago, and there are some people that are going from a 15-year to a 30-year. You see, some people do the opposite because they want to cut down the amortization, but other people right now, especially retired people that are living on pensions and Social Security, they're finding if they increase their term from 15 to 30, they're actually giving themselves more income. So instead of spending $1,500 on your mortgage payment on a 15-year, they might be paying $900 on a 30-year. They got $600 extra a month in their pocket. And they can use that to still pay down their mortgage. But it's an interesting way to look at it, because normally it would be, if I'm in a 30, I want to go to 20. I want my house paid off. Now people are at the point where, you know what, let me increase it. I'll still pay it off, but I have that little cushion in my pocket at the end of the month.
You know, and I've been hearing commercials, too, about how you can refinance your property in a way that if you're, let's say you're 20 years into a 30-year mortgage, you don't have to start all over again at 30.
Absolutely.
Years. How does that work?
It's, you can go in and do a 10-year mortgage. You can do a 26-year mortgage. You have people that have been in it for 7 years, they'll do a 23-year mortgage. So they're still keeping the same amortization term, but maybe lowering the rate, maybe getting some cash out. There's all kinds of different opportunities.
The other piece of bad news, and this one kind of affects, I think, anybody who has a mortgage out there that counts on that mortgage interest deduction for their taxes every year. This is part of the Trump tax plan, or at least it's been talked about. What are your thoughts about this, and how likely are we to see this come to fruition?
You know, it's one of those things they've been talking about. I believe Mr. Greenspan years ago had actually broached this topic, and it got pretty quiet, but then it's kind of gained some momentum here recently. I personally don't think it's a good idea. Number one, we see a lot of people that are at a point in their lives where they don't have kids in the house anymore. They don't have any tax deductions, so they'll come in, and they don't have a mortgage. They'll come in and get a home equity, or they'll come in and get a first mortgage, cash out to get that tax deduction. That's one of the big reasons people buy a house right now.
Yeah, and I know just anecdotally from people I know myself. I mean, you're talking anywhere from, you know, $4,000 to $12,000, depending on what you owe. But that's a huge chunk of money that you would, I guess, it would translate into a tax increase.
Into a tax increase, correct, because you wouldn't be able to take that write-off anymore. And they were talking about if you What's the word I'm looking for? I can't think of the word.
I know that one of the
itemize.
Itemize, yeah.
Yeah, if you itemize your deductions, and then you won't get it. But then if you do get it, then you look at two different factors. It's saying it's supposed to help the middle class. And one of the reports said if you buy a home that's worth $301,000, it will benefit you. The next one you read says if you buy a home that's $805,000, what is that? That's not middle class, no matter where you look. I mean, we're looking at the average home price in Indianapolis is $140,000. So where does that $300,000 to $800,000 help those people? It doesn't.
And the argument is, too, that I think what you were looking for earlier was the standard deduction. They have proposed raising that standard deduction, doubling it in some cases. But if you're a normal person, you have other expenses, your itemized deductions are way more than that.
Well, absolutely. You're going to end up losing money and not being able to take the mortgage right off.
The other thing, too, is do you think this will discourage home buyership? Because we're at that point now in the United States where people are buying houses. The home ownership is increasing, but do you think this might put that off track?
The reason I don't think it's a good idea is right now home ownership is at a 51-year low. How will this help people swing that number around? You know, if it's at a 51-year low, you should be doing things to assist people buying homes. Phenomenal grant programs. Associated Bank has several of them. So taking money out of your pocket and taking tax deductions away from you, I don't think is going to cure a problem that's 51 years old.
Do you deal with people getting mortgages every day? Do they mention this when they're doing this? Is this one of the bonuses of buying a house?
They do bring it up, but it's really tough to comment on because you don't know which way it's. And they'll ask, what do you think? Mm-hmm. Well, if I had a crystal ball, I wouldn't be sitting here. It's one of those things where you want to guide them in the right direction, but it's not even in its infancy. Like I said, it's been talked about for a while, but you never know when it's going to happen. It could happen tomorrow. It might not happen again, and it may have an effect with the Fed raising the rates again or thinking about raising the rates again.
You mentioned the folks that are looking to actually get this deduction, get interest, taking out mortgages. Is it worth considering refinancing if you're one of those people, or maybe you're already in a mortgage where you're paying interest thinking, okay, I'm going to get this back at the end of the year. Refinance it and start using that money now.
Absolutely, right. And it all depends on what you need it for. If your rate is where it is, and that's where it kind of goes back to what we've been saying for the last year, it's the relationship with the banker at Associated Bank. Call up. We'll tell you it's not really worth it's pointless to do it. Or you could be saving $200 to $300 a month, get money out for college, different expenses. So it's really an individual. There's no blanket answer. It's a one-on-one conversation that's going to point them in the right direction.
How often do you deal with the folks who who want to buy a house and they come to you and they say, my spouse has problems with credit or there's an issue with an ex or something like that? Is this a big deal when people are buying homes?
It's a big deal, and sometimes it's more of a surprise. You know, I always, when we pull credit, say, can we review it? Once I didn't ask, and I reviewed it with both of them, and there was a jewelry store charge on his, and she didn't have any new jewelry. So that I don't think they ever bought a house after that. But it is one of those things where you do want to review it. You want to go over your credit. People need to get that free credit report every year and monitor what's on there. There could be erroneous reporting that you wouldn't know unless you look at your credit, and it could be too late by the time you go to apply for a mortgage.
It's one of those rare cases where you become not only the mortgage guy but the marriage counselor in
Absolutely.
Some cases. How do you tell people to, or how do people even broach this subject with their spouse if they find problems or issues or one spouse has bad credit? How do you even begin that conversation?
Well, and it's funny, obviously, how much people disclose to one another. Credit normally isn't one of those topics. It's not one of those things that come up on the first date. Hey, before we go any further, what's your credit score? Sometimes you're into it so deep and you do go apply for a mortgage. And again, it goes back to the conversation. Don't apply for a mortgage when you want to buy a house. Apply for a mortgage when you think you might want to buy a house. So if there are any credit hurdles, any hurdles, savings, you have time to fix it. Once you get in and it's too late and you're kind of under the gun, not a lot can be done. But it is very, extremely fixable. Mm-hmm. You're not out of hope.
Can one spouse with a good credit score help the other repair theirs, and how would that work?
No, it individually has to be repaired. If one spouse has poor credit and one spouse has good credit, and that one spouse with good credit has enough income, they could purchase the home by themselves. That sometimes doesn't go over well because the ownership, the title is a little different, and sometimes it causes a little more stress in the marriage. But helping with the good credit, and if you have bad credit, that bad credit is going to be bad credit no matter how good the spouse with the good credit is on there.
Can you leave a spouse with bad credit off the mortgage?
Absolutely. If you can qualify by yourself, mm-hmm. individually, they'd have to sign a quick claim deed. They could be on the title, but it wouldn't reflect on their credit. And having a mortgage is one of your biggest credit improvers. You know, it's a positive. Making your mortgage payment, obviously, on time is going to increase your credit score.
We've had this conversation before about repairing credit. What is the timeline, do you think? If, you know, right now, let's say I want to buy a house, but I know my spouse has bad credit, it's about a year to fix that? Or
depends on what's on there. Medical collections take 7 years to drop off.
Wow.
So depending on what is bad, if it's collection accounts, if you just decided to stop paying your car note, if there's a history of bad credit, obviously the more bad credit on there will take longer. If it's just a couple of points here or there, there's little tricks you can do. If you have a $500 credit card bill and your payment is $25 and it's due on the 15th of the month, if you send them, as funny as it sounds, $5 on the 1st, send them $20 on the 10th, you spread out your payments, make incremental payments, but make that minimum payment on time, drastically increases your score.
Wow, so that's something I didn't know. That's good.
And the other thing is the credit utilization. They mm-hmm. want to keep that 30% or less. So if you have a $1,000 credit line, you really don't want to exceed your credit exposure by about, say, $350. Once you go over that 30% utilization, your score starts ticking down a little bit. So a lot of people want to pay down their high-interest credit cards quickly, which is great. You'd be better off getting your credit utilization on all your cards down to below 30 and then go after the higher credit interest rate cards.
Is it okay to keep a credit card or two with limits that you don't use anything on them, just an open account?
Just to have them. They do like to see it used, and what they do is what also helps credit builders a lot. Associated Bank is a phenomenal credit builder program. But what also helps is if you don't have credit, amazing amount of people do not have credit. Cash, checks, they never wanted to get stuck in the credit world. Well, you don't have credit, the bank has no history of you paying people back. A great idea is open up a credit card. $1,000 credit line, put some gas in your car, couple of dinners, pay it off every month. So you're going to have your 30% or less utilization, a zero balance, and on-time payments.
Save the good news for the end. The Chicago real estate market forecast looks pretty good next year. Maybe 10%, an increase of 10%. I'm sure you're going to like that.
You know, it is good news to keep reading down there, Stephen. As usual, it turns kind of nasty again. Lawrence Yoon, who's the chief economist with the National Association of Realtors, gave a presentation to Main Street Organization of Realtors, which is a huge organization with about 18,000 members. He was saying they're looking at about a 10% increase. They're saying that Chicago could benefit. We're also seeing jobs increase in Chicago because of that. I think we were up 2%. But then they also said Chicago is lagging behind the rest of the country. Depending on what Springfield does, they may see an exodus of people leaving Illinois. So as he's saying, you're going to see a 10% increase. It might not be in Chicago, but they're saying Chicago could actually handle that as opposed to some of the other areas with the higher values. So it does look good, and they're basing that on the houses that have been sold and the prices they've been sold at in the Chicago market.
Things to look forward to. McDonald's moving its headquarters down here. I think that's going to happen in the next year.
Absolutely.
This Amazon thing, all that's of these things could be positive.
Could be positive. And again, like we talked about before, and I know Amazon was, they wanted something near a rail line and near the expressway. So the Chicago market is definitely going to benefit in the loop. But I think the metro areas will as well, just because the great transportation with, you know, Union Station and Ogilvy. So I think you're going to see more of a spider-like effect with suburbs getting a greater bang for the buck as opposed to the downtown area itself.
Plenty to think about today, John. Thank you.
Always. Thanks, buddy.
See you next time. John Horton, a Senior Vice President and Senior Lending Manager at Associated Bank. It's our Thought Leader Conversation. Remember, you can listen to past conversations at WGNRadio.com on the opening bell page, and also head over to AssociatedBank.com/thought leadership. You can meet all the thought leaders there and hear all of the past conversations as well.